Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology. Happy Monday, everybody. Today we are going to take a look at the full moon in Cancer, which is coming through today in an opposition with Pluto, who is sitting together with the sun in Capricorn. So that is our agenda for today. It's a pretty intense full moon coming right on the heels of the sun's conjunction with Pluto. We talked about the sun-Pluto conjunction on Friday of last week. So be sure to go back and take a look at that because the Sun-Pluto influence is still in the air today for sure. And we're going to talk about it more along the lines of the full moon in Cancer today. So here is the real-time clock. And you can see here's the Sun-Pluto conjunction just separating now. And here is the moon in Cancer coming through to make the full moon today. So full moon across the Cancer Capricorn axis, we've got conjunction with Pluto going on. Venus is still doing her retrograde. Some other interesting transits. Mercury just recently turned retrograde, is sitting in a pretty tight square with Uranus. And we have Uranus turning direct tomorrow. So there's still, because Mercury's moving very slowly, you still have a Mercury-Uranus dynamic in the air as well. Couple of different things we'll be talking about this week. Probably continue on looking at the sign of Aquarius this week with our Misconceptions of the Zodiac series. And probably I've got a good stockpile of your stories from the past couple of weeks in terms of the Grab series. So we'll probably take a look at that too. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the Cancer Capricorn dynamic. First of all, I think, you know, one of the ways that it's epitomized in my life right now, I'll just tell a quick story. There's some winter weather, you know, pretty intense winter weather that slammed the East Coast here in the United States. And my sister lives on the East Coast and her, she's got a newborn baby plus another young child. So she's got two kids and their power is out because of the storms. So they're without power and it's pretty cold. So I got the message from them that, you know, they're bundling up and lighting candles and, you know, all this stuff and they're okay. They're okay. But I was like, yep, this is exactly what I would have anticipated would be, potential vulnerable moment around the topics of home and family with a full moon in Cancer opposing Pluto. The places in your life that you consider to be like home or like family, safe places, can be disturbed by the presence of Pluto during this full moon. I got news over the weekend that there was a tsunami warning for, I think maybe it was the West Coast of the United States. And someone said, isn't that kind of feel like the full moon coming through, the sun, Pluto, and the full moon coming through in a water sign? I said, yeah. And what does that make you feel? You know, it makes you feel like your home is vulnerable. It makes you feel like something could happen in the place where you most need the feeling of peace and security. And that's a little bit of the vibe around this full moon generally. But it can bring up a lot of other things as well. So, and by the way, it sounds like the people all across the East Coast are dealing without power at the moment. There were some other things that came up on my radar. One was that there were some really bad weather down in Florida too. And, you know, this is, you know, the picture, the image that it came up in my head, with these different pictures of natural phenomenon threatening home and where you live, was the full moon in Cancer opposite Pluto, the potential to be exploring ancestral wounds comes up for me with this one. That's certainly one possibility. Another one would be family trauma. So trauma could mean things existing in the past, things existing in the present. I also read over the weekend that there was just in line with the rising moon opposite Pluto, that there was like a, I want to say it was like a synagogue where some people were taken hostage, and maybe it was in Texas or something like that. So that's a place of worship, a place where families and community go, and a community, a kind of a space of religious community, and the feeling of it being threatened by, you know, a hostile force. The very earth we stand on can be hostile, and that is it. Am I really safe? You know, these kinds of these are the kinds of feelings that can be provoked within us by a full moon opposite Pluto. Full moon in Cancer, it's home sign, right? Opposite Pluto. So dealing with ancestral wounds or family trauma can be something that's happening right now, where there's almost like a destabilized, there's a feeling of destabilization that we're having to deal with or work through. Or it can, it could also pertain to something in the past that's being brought up right now, an old wound, the exploration of history. I noticed something in myself over the weekend that I thought was very full moon and Cancer coming through, which was this sudden urge to do one of those like 23andMe, you know, the DNA tests where you learn where you came from and so forth. And I just overwhelmingly, I had this urge to order one of those kits. I'm like, where is this coming from? You know, I thought, there it is. The desire to know something about where you come from, to excavate like an archaeologist. I read over the weekend, I read my wife the essay that I read part of on this channel a while back called The Wreck of Time by Annie Dillard. And there's one passage in that essay where she talks about the fact that some archaeologists uncovered a set of human footprints, three human footprints walking along that was preserved by ash, or I don't know what it was, but and she said, what were they like as a family? What were their fears? What were they doing? You know, the dead outweigh the living by like 25-1 at this point in history or something like that. What do the dead say? You know, what do the ancestors say? What does history and time say that we can't see? We always tend to think that right now, everything is utterly unique and that we're at the cutting edge of history. But of course the, oh, fun. I got a dog hair in my mouth. Hold on just a second. Oh. Okay, sorry about that. I had to pause. That's what you get for cuddling with your dog. All right, so what does the, you know, we think that everything that we're going through right now is completely unique, and we purposefully insulate ourselves in some ways from history and from the fact that, you know, most of history is not remembered. Most of history is not memorialized. Most of history is not remarkable, you know, in the sense that it's not any different then than it is now with regard to a lot of the basic, most basic human emotional, physical elements. And that's not to say that we aren't unique or that nothing is unique. It's not to be cynical, but it is to, Pluto can give us that reminder. You know, I was listening to my guru once give a talk, and he was talking about how, you know, he started studying yoga, and he knew, you know, my faith and my beliefs are really going to be tested when certain key people in my life pass away, who will probably pass away before me, such as my family members, my parents, my older siblings, etc. And he's now watched both of his parents and his sister pass away. And his experience of watching them pass, he said, was one of the things that affirmed his belief, his core belief in the values and practices of yoga more than anything else. For the simple reason that when you lose things that are really dear to you, it makes you understand how short things are, how temporary things are, and what's really important to keep kindness to keep relationships, to keep self-care at the center. Gentle, slow, patient, humble qualities that bring that simple joy into everyday life, because you know that the center can only hold for so long in this material world, whether it's a family or a home. That's the nature of this world. Tsunamis come. Temples are not always safe. Homes are not always safe. Marriages, children, family, schools, supermarkets. These are places that are not inherently safe. There's always some time and some place in the world where even these seemingly, you know, seemingly safe places will become sources of violence or chaos, loss. And that's not to be morbid. It's just to remember that safety doesn't lie in being naive, right? It's not. A lot of the times we think that safety is found in this kind of childlike optimism. It's about being protected from the darkness of the world. The therapist, archetypal therapist James Hillman, liked to say that he hated the movie Forrest Gump. And one of the reasons that he didn't like the movie was that he felt that, and I love the movie, by the way, but I'm just, you know, I think it's a fun movie. But he didn't like the movie because he felt that it was capitalizing on Americans' childlike prioritizing or childlike clinging to naivety and optimism and avoiding the kind of brutal realities of everyday life that are at the very least mingled with the naive, childlike, and hopeful ones. You know, Forrest Gump is kind of like the ultimate naive, optimistic, youthful hope of America. And Hillman wrote essays about this and stuff and demonstrated his point, at, you know, throughout the film. He brings up certain points or whatever. And I'm not here to debate whether Forrest Gump is actually like that or not. I happen to like the movie, you know. It's like Ted Lasso. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that show. Upon recommendation, my wife and I started watching this show recently, and it's very similar. He reminds me a lot of Forrest Gump in the sense that he is just impossible not to like. He wins everyone over, and he does so through a kind of childlike, hopeful, optimistic kindness. And there's something about that at its core that can resemble the moon in Cancer. And even the fact that our country is a Cancer sun, you know, the sense of establishing a peaceful, ideal, secure home for a new, in a new place, for a new country and all that. And of course, the shadow, the potential shadow is a, in the show, for example, in Ted Lasso, one of the things that comes up early on in the show, and I'm not giving anything away, is that he's in the UK coaching a soccer team, even though he knows nothing about soccer. And his wife back home is unsatisfied with the marriage, can't handle his optimism. In Jungian terms, you could say that that's the sign of a sick anima. I heard someone say that recently. I was actually speaking with a Jungian friend of mine. And saying, you know, it's a sick anima. The anima inside of us is, you could say, like the spirit of our imagination. And, you know, the anima doesn't have anything to work with if everything is safe. The anima doesn't have fantasy if everything is always just good and fine and dandy. So the anima needs something to work with. And one of the interesting points of that show is what a turning point it is for Ted Lasso, you know, as he's dealing with his wife, who is inherently not happy, even though he's a nice guy. Nice isn't always good enough. How many times in my practice that I've worked with men over the years have I heard them say, it's like, you know, if I'm a nice guy, if I'm just a nice guy, you know, then the girls don't like me. But if I don't care about them, then they really like me. You know, I wonder why that is. I've heard so many men say that in counseling, in astrology sessions, talking about their dating or love life. And I don't know the answer to that. And I don't, there's probably many different answers, or it's probably quite a conversation you could have about that. Cause it's, I think it's a pretty perennial topic, you know, just in dating in general. It doesn't really matter what your sex or gender is or whatever. Why is it that sometimes we're not drawn to nice people. We're drawn to people who are edgy, or, you know, we're drawn to people who don't give us the time of day, or, you know, what is that? Well, it's self-esteem or whatever. No, I think part of it, at least part of it, is that we need some element of drama. We need some feeling of threat for there to be the sense of safety. We need some feeling of danger for there to be a nest. You know, what's so beautiful about the image of a nest? I remember when we moved into this house, we moved to Minnesota for a year, we rented and we looked for a house and so forth. And we moved into our house and there was a nest, a bird's nest, sitting right above the doorway to the entrance of the house. And it was in such a precarious position. I was just like, oh man, that's like, I mean, the bird did a good job of nestling this space, you know, creating this little space in this little nook, but it just looked very unstable. And then every morning, you know, the bird had babies and the babies were in the nest, the bird. And eventually the birds left, they were no longer there and the nest was, you know, vacant and whatever. But I remember while it was there, having this moment, very Cancer full moon, opposite Pluto type of moment on an archetypal level of saying, you know, what makes this so beautiful is that every day that I go outside, you know, my heart is concerned. There's a little worry in my heart because I know that this is a precarious position and maybe the bird doesn't know as well, or maybe, you know, it wasn't the most secure looking nest. That's actually our position in life. Fundamentally, we're all like that. Our position is not nearly as secure as we think it is. And yet we survive, yet we go on, and we actually need that element of things not being okay, of there being a little drama, of life not being inherently safe. And it doesn't always serve us, although I deeply believe in optimism and in positive thinking and in hope, you know, but I've said this a number of times around Pluto the past month, that hope does not always serve us. At least not if we try to wall ourselves off in the fortress of hope, you know, as a kind of stubborn, naive innocence. So these are Moon and Cancer opposite Pluto dynamics. Let's ask ourselves what keeps us warm at the center and what happens when we lose it. We ask ourselves how to disperse family conflicts without glossing over things. Ask ourselves about how can I remain in a state of feeling safe without the temptation of becoming innocent, you know? And we will grow in our faith if we believe deeply that what is important is soulfulness, that we are eternal beings, that the body is temporary, that the world is temporary, that our homes and the things that keep us within a feeling of safety are temporary. We believe these things. It doesn't mean we have to go about not feeling safe or feeling on edge all the time, or there can't still be a sweetness at the center of our lives, but the benefit of living close to the feeling of danger, allowing darkness to have a place, allowing destructive or chaotic elements to be real, is that when those things happen, and they do, the waves rise, the tornadoes come, the ice storms hit, the temple is attacked, there's loss in the home, children and family members become ill, we're not surprised. We know that this happens. We know that our nest is in a precarious situation in this world. But we trust it. We trust that something about that vulnerability is what makes it so worthwhile. I remember last night I was putting my daughter, we had daddy-daughter movie night last night, and we watched Ghostbusters. And my daughter was thrilled. You know, she loved it, and it was a really memorable experience. And there was, in the movie, of course, there's, if you've seen the new one, there's, it's mostly kids doing the acting. And my daughter, we were laying down, and she said, "Daddy, I think I want to be an astrologer when I grow up, or an herbalist." Of course, that's what my wife and I do for a living, or a veterinarian. And I go, "Okay, well, maybe you could do all at once, you know?" And she said, I want to be able to speak the language of the stars. Cause that's kind of how I explain it to her. Something, what do you do for a living? And I said, "Well, I study the language of the stars, and they have a way of talking to us. I want to learn, you know." And, okay, that's cool. So talking a little bit about it. And then she said, "But you know, the one thing is, I'm not sure I ever want to do something like that." I said, "Well, why?" She said, "Well, because I don't ever want to leave this family. You know, I don't want to ever go away from this family. I don't understand why people do that." You know, it was such an innocent, tender moment. But I said, you know, it's also a moment not to avoid Pluto. And I said, "Well, you know, we'll always be here for you as long as Krishna decides to keep us around. But there's a lot of really cool things that you get to discover when you go out and away from your family, and then you come back to it. So one of my favorite things to do now is, you know, to be with you guys and mommy and then sometimes I go back and I visit grandma." You know, she and grandpa, because, you know, they used to be, that's where I lived all the time. But then I went out and had a family with you guys. So part of it is also about going out from your home and then coming back to it. And how many beautiful things happen because we go out from, we leave the source and we come back to it. I mean, ultimately, on a spiritual level, that's sort of what we're doing. You know, we are often, you know, there's a feeling that we get if we're honest with ourselves that we've journeyed far afield from our spiritual home. And a lot of what we try to do in life to compensate for that feeling of being in exile spiritually is try to create a temporary feeling of at-homeness in people or groups or families and so forth. And if we can manage to address that basic feeling of spiritual alienation and exile in our lives on a day-to-day level, it's much harder to put all of your chips into the center of the table with some particular person or thing or place or job, even family, and think this will keep me safe. There's nothing that can penetrate, nothing that can come in. Because eventually it will. So she didn't like that necessarily. She was like, "Yeah, but I don't want to." And I said, "Well, you don't have to for a long time. You know, just someday you might actually enjoy it, having a family of your own, going to school." No, I'm never leaving." I said, "Well, good. Because for now, I don't want you to." You know. Some things will also never change. A lot of the moon opposite Pluto can, that archetypal combination can speak to divisions within groups, family, tribe, culture, city. Sometimes the harder task is, it's less about championing your cause, what you think will make the city or the nation or the group or the tribe safe or best or better. Sometimes that's called for. And sometimes the hard thing to do, especially, you know, I think about this when on the level of family, is learning to live with certain kinds of civil strife, certain kinds of divisions within the family, differences between family members, dysfunction within the family. Sometimes it's harder to learn to just allow it to exist, to learn to live with things that are difficult to live with. It's sometimes the bigger challenge that requires more patience and humility is to learn to live with the civil wars that exist within our own heart and soul. You know, for example, there's team rivalries in almost every sport. You know, here we call it the border battle, you know, Minnesota and Wisconsin, Green Bay and the Vikings, not much of a competition. Green Bay has pretty much owned us for 30 years, but these divisions, right? These familiar lines of polarization in the family, in sports, in politics. Yeah, they get brought to the surface when the moon in Cancer opposes Pluto. And they often bring up within us this feeling of, I have to heal this. I have to fix this. Eventually we'll be mended. Eventually we'll be better. But the existence of those divisions is also an archetypal reality that reminds us that there's nothing that's going to allow us to finally get comfortable while we're in the realm of coming to be and passing away, the sublunary sphere, this moon world, the river of time just keeps moving, change is constant, and certain kinds of divisions don't go anywhere anytime soon. They don't go away quickly. Allowing for them to be, learning to live with them, adapting and moving with them, staying curious and open to what these civil divisions have to say day by day. Sometimes that's the harder path than taking our stand and trying to convert the enemy, trying to convert the person on the other side of the line. Maybe that's not always appropriate, but sometimes that is the harder path, learning to live with things rather than trying to change people. It's one of the most fundamental things that you'll learn if you ever go to an Al-Anon meeting, dealing with learning how to live with alcoholism in the family. There's a good amount of stay in your lane that's taught, which does not mean don't care about other people. It means recognize that it's not your job to change other people. And to learn to live with certain kinds of divisions, or learning how to make choices to adapt and deal with divisions, as opposed to feeling like everyone has to be on the same page here or things aren't okay. Another question about the Cancer moon that we'll end with today is just questions about what nourishes us, versus what is a band-aid and what enables. For example, people sometimes think, oh, you're into yoga, you must hate, like, and you're into alternative things, you must hate like allopathic Western medicine. And I don't, you know, it's, you know, in certain cases in my life, in a few cases has literally saved my life. And I'm not one to crusade so much about holistic versus, you know, allopathic medicine. And there are people who do that, and I get why. So, you know, my wife's an herbalist, and we see all the time, sometimes, you know, people are prescribed medicines that a plant might do a better job of with less damage. You know, I get it. But one of the things for me as a yoga studio owner over the years and so forth, that I've always felt is that wouldn't it be great if we saw just as strong a movement as we see toward reliance upon the treatments of Western medicine, of allopathic medicine? Wouldn't it be great if we saw an equal emphasis on the proactive habits of a healthy lifestyle? This is something that Michelle Obama spent a lot of time talking about, and I always really appreciated her for. She talked a lot about how some of the greatest killers in our country, heart disease and all sorts of things, could be greatly remedied if the culture spent more time talking about healthy living, exercise, diet, sleep, water, some of the most basic things. So people have, you know, sometimes people will say, are you against allopathic medicine? I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm pro lifestyle medicine and wishing that we had a little bit more emphasis on just the basic things that can create better immunity in our bodies. And that doesn't mean that I don't think that there's a place for the science and the specific way in which, you know, Western medicine can treat things. But I was having this conversation over the weekend, you know, as you know, the Omicron numbers are surging and everything. And I read an article somewhere and it was, I don't remember, you know, cause things are posted online and, but it was an article by a PhD of some kind. And they were saying, you know, we're going to be dealing with this long-term. It's an opportune time for us to talk about the importance of the natural everyday things that can boost immunity. And I was really happy to read something like that. And I caught myself over the weekend going like, well, there's the moon opposite Pluto. You know, what are the kinds of things that help us heal versus enable us? What are the kinds of practices we can do that are proactive versus putting a Band-Aid over something? I remember one thing that drove me nuts when I was a kid, and this is part of Minnesota culture in general. And I don't mean to rip, I love Minnesota, you know, I'm a Minnesotan through and through, but I remember as a kid, sometimes you could tell that Minnesotans were just putting like, well, let's just find a comfortable way of dealing with this. You know, like is Minnesota nice? It's sometimes called. And I sometimes would feel like, you know, my Capricorn moon or whatever, I'd be like, come on, we're just putting a Band-Aid on this crap. You know, I'm a Cancer Sun Capricorn moon, so this axis is very familiar to me. We're just putting a Band-Aid on this stuff. Come on, let's be real. Let's talk about what's really going on here. You know, so Pluto and Capricorn can be a bit like that, whereas Cancer moon is like, well, let's just do something that kind of, you know, temporarily fixes it, makes everyone feel good, doesn't provoke, you know, deeper, difficult conversations. So another thing that I thought about with regard to this transit in general, and not speaking now about medicine or whatever, that's a whole, you know, it's a whole can of worms really, but is that any area of your life during this full moon can be affected by that dichotomy. What is enabling? What's a Band-Aid? What's a healthy Band-Aid versus an unhealthy one? What nourishes us? What's life-giving and supportive and healing versus enabling or some kind of temporary solution that's probably just pushing away the darkness for now? So, yeah, at any rate, I have family members who are, you know, my mom is a doctor. She has a doctor. She's a psychiatric nurse practitioner and sisters in healthcare. A lot of people in my family, nurses and doctors and things like that. So I've never had anything fundamentally against, I just want to make that clear for all those people out there who are in the healthcare profession. And also just see a lot of things that, you know, throughout counseling many people through having a yoga studio for 10 years, a lot of which is lifestyle medicine. That's a lot of what yoga is in the studio asana sense, and trying to give people tools to for being healthy day to day. And, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, we look for in everyday life, like supplements and all sorts of stuff that, you know, sometimes like 2 more hours of sleep a night would fix, or, you know, a little bit of exercise or some change in your macros, or, you know what I mean? And that's a cancer Capricorn dynamic as well. For as protective as cancer can be, sometimes there's also an avoidance of wanting to deal with the harder truths that once faced and dealt with, actually, ironically, you know, can make things a lot safer and a lot sweeter and a lot more protected. So sometimes we have to, like my youngest daughter went through a phase not long ago where she was absolutely obsessed with Band-Aids. She would accidentally, you know, bump her hand on the refrigerator door while walking past it and demand a Band-Aid. You know what I mean? And it was really cute. We had to have this time where we were like, okay, like, you know, taking Band-Aids off, that was, wow, trauma, you know? And also having conversations about not needing Band-Aids, but also letting her just have fun and have Band-Aids. And this whole thing, and my, you know, I realized, like, this is what parenting is. Essentially, it's a metaphor for parenting. My wife and I sitting down after the kids are in bed being like, all right, how long should we let this Band-Aid thing go on? You know, so you can imagine God with a little legion of advising angels, like, all right, so how long should we let them be obsessed with the Band-Aids in this situation, you know? And then, so very moon opposite Pluto. So today's talk brought to you by moon opposite Pluto stories that I've noticed around the house lately. Anyway, that's what I've got for today. I'd love to hear your stories and what else comes to your mind. These are just my thoughts on it. Leave your comments in the chat box and use the hashtag grabbed. If you have a story coming up, enter the name of the transit and then a brief description of what's been happening. We'll be sharing stories later this week from this transit and other recent transits. So I look forward to doing that with all of you. In the meantime, I hope you have a great start to your week and we will see you again tomorrow. Take it easy, everyone.